You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining out
door. Come over here, kid, will you, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of water. You fry some garlic.
It's
and you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. And you got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
Mouth-titters, yeah.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet. My country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress. I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
Want some more?
Delicious. Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the One Country's Most Delicious Hour. It is Michelle and Jordan live in the flesh. Nice to be here on this beautiful fall day. No one's ready for summer to end. You know, I wish we could have fall light and the long days, and the temperatures never over 71 degrees. That would be a just one season like that would be really nice. Oh, well, I am not queen of the universe. Alas. And on that note, let's just jump right into tonight's topic. Although I will say one more thing, one little thing. Tomatoes are okay. If you were worried like I was on, I think it was Tuesday night and Wednesday, then I felt really guilty worrying about anything to do with rain. Praise the rain gods. I was wondering if it was going to be enough that the tomatoes would burst and go away until next year. But everyone I've talked to, tomatoes are fine. Some are looking a little raggedy, but there's still plenty of them. We should have them for at least another 2 or 3 weeks. And tonight we're also talking about things that go on outside other than just growing tomatoes. We have Jeremy Drew Dugan. I have to say thank you to Gail Sullivan of Dry Creek Peach and Produce for telling me about, you go by Drew, right?
I do.
Of Meats and Bounds. Welcome to Mouthful.
Thank you.
We also have with us, because I want you in the conversation from the beginning, we have Dave Pugh of Brand New Farm, Russian River Organics.
Yes, thanks a lot for having me.
You bet. Thanks for being here. So let's start it with, I know you had a dinner last night.
We did.
At a farm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at Foggy River Farm.
Oh, that's right, Foggy River.
On East Side Road, just outside of Healdsburg.
Mm-hmm. And so what is exactly Meats and Bounds?
So Meats and Bounds, well, maybe I should just begin with the name.
Okay.
It's a sort of a somewhat antiquated, but it is still used today, method of surveying land. So Meats, M-E-T-E-S.
Mm-hmm.
As in sort of measures and distance. So, you know, historically before we had lasers and GPS and things like that, surveyors would go out and say, 40 paces past the old oak tree and then down by the creek and then a quarter mile until you hit Farmer Joe's fence, and that's where the property line is.
Mm-hmm.
And since we're traveling all over Sonoma County doing these table of farm dinners, we thought Meats and Bounds would be a nice way to introduce the idea of surveying the county and its agricultural land.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we do fine dining actually out in the field between the crop rows and the vines of Sonoma County.
Are you familiar with something called Outstanding in the Field?
Oh, yeah.
So is that something similar?
We do share some similarities in that we do set a white linen table.
Mm-hmm.
Outside, and certainly what they do is an exceptional concept. I would say one of the biggest differences is that we are community focused in the sense that we are local and very true to that, whereas Outstanding in the Field, they travel all over the world now.
Yeah, and they also get, they bring in chefs, mm-hmm. not necessarily from the community where the dinner is taking place.
Yeah, I mean, our staff is, it's an intact staff. My partner in this and our chef, Heath Thompson.
Keith or Heath?
Heath.
Heath Thompson?
Yeah. He and I started Meets and Bounds a little over a year ago now. Was when we sort of shook hands and began planning this out. And then we have our sous chef and some other staff. And so that staff is definitely our core group of six or seven.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas Outstanding in the Field sets their table for maybe 150, 200 mm-hmm. people out in a field, we keep ours very intimate. So usually between 36 and 50 guests at any given time.
And is the are the tables end-to-end?
So they are. Nice, it is a large community awesome. Family-style table.
Great. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
And is it limited to Sonoma County or North Bay? What's the geographic range?
North Bay in general. We've dipped our toes over into Marin a couple of times this season, and we've done one dinner over in Napa. Mm-hmm. And next season, that will probably expand. But we're based mostly out of Healdsburg. So the farmers that we've connected with this first season, mostly produce between, I'd say, Geyserville and Petaluma.
Mm-hmm.
So we are very Sonoma-centric. My background being wine, I wanted to do it in wine country. And
uh-huh. Tell us about your wine background.
Oh, sure, yeah. I'm an advanced sommelier, so I've been studying and pouring or slinging wine now for a little over a decade.
So you're one of the, 36 in the world or something?
Oh,
one of those?
Well, there's a master sommelier.
Right,
which
yes,
is,
master
an
sommelier.
Exam, so I guess I'm a master's candidate.
Oh, okay.
In that sense. So there are four exams, and I've passed the first three.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And so I think there are probably about 500 of us in the world that are advanced sommeliers.
Okay.
I don't know the number exactly.
It's the once you get to the master's.
We've had
a few masters on. It's
yeah, and it's a very, very difficult exam, very rigorous. And,
yeah.
So maybe sometime in the future.
Uh-huh. Cool. So I want to bring you in, Dave. How have you been participating in this?
Well, I've been fortunate enough to both be a guest at a number of mm-hmm. Heath and Drew's dinners. And I actually first met the two of them before they were off the ground when mm-hmm. it was in the concept and development stage. And I think we were all somewhat new to Sonoma County at that point in time. And I was managing a farm in Geyserville.
Six Oaks Farm, right?
It's Six Oaks Farm, yeah, which I helped the owners start and manage for mm-hmm. 3 years.
I think they sell, or they did sell at the Occidental Farmers Market, right? I think that's where I know them. Either Occidental or Windsor, it seems.
They're mostly in Healdsburg,
okay.
Farmers Market. It's okay. A very small farm and uh-huh. Few restaurants uh-huh. and Cloverdale.
Okay. For some reason, I thought I'd seen them at an Occidental.
And so, yeah, it was really great because I was getting to know people in the community and starting to learn about the whole special Alexander Valley climate and mm-hmm. and the amazing things that you can grow between the amazing soil and great climate and getting this beautiful little farm up off the ground. And I believe I met Heath first, just in random passing, and we happened to be both talking about agricultural related, food related mm-hmm. topics. And I heard about what they were planning, and it sounded really cool. And so I would just bump into them from time to time, and it seemed like they had a real good plan together. So. I think they both came out and visited the farm and did a little farm walk with me, and we talked about how fun it would be to partner mm-hmm. up for a dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dave was the first Sonoma farmer that I met. I was living out of state, and
whereabouts?
I was back in Michigan for a year. Mm-hmm. Heath and I did a similar project in Colorado
oh.
for a number of seasons. But last summer, I think in July, I flew out to sort of get things going here on the ground before I moved out. And Heath and I drove up to Geyserville, and that was where I met Dave. And I think...
And Rue the farm dog.
And Rue the farm dog, yeah. And I think that was when we all agreed it would be a great idea to work together in 2014. And so I believe our second community farm dinner was at Six Oaks.
Oh, okay.
At Dave's farm back in May.
In May. So was 2014, is 2014 the year of the launch of the dinners?
It is the year of the launch of the dinners here in California.
How frequently do you do them?
We do dinners once or twice a week, usually just once a week.
Oh, once or twice a week. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So, yeah, and that's sort of how we're paced out here through the rest of the season as well.
And when do they start up?
When did they start up this year?
April, yeah.
Yeah, we did two dinners in April and then began sort of a weekly schedule in May.
Mm-hmm.
And that's continued.
How long do you see them continuing this year?
Our last outdoor farm dinner is going to be October 25th, I believe. I believe that's the Saturday. And then we'll have sort of the daylight savings time change and probably very muddy soil.
If we're lucky.
Yes, I hope as well. you know, once the rainy season starts, we'll sort of shift gears into maybe a few... You know, private events and things like that.
What about barn dinners?
We've talked with a few folks about that, and it's just a matter of logistics.
Yeah, there's some pretty spectacular barns tucked away that I know are used for events and that sort of thing. You know, there's a few chefs, and they'll talk about some of the weddings they've done inside of barns, and it's pretty spectacular.
Yep, some beautiful sites that we could do here in the off season, but also a lot of. You know, it being our first season, a lot of growing pains and a lot of things we need to, you know, it took us almost a year to get ready to do our first farm dinners. And so now we're all just like the soil, ready to sort of refresh ourselves and get ready for, you know, spring of 2015.
And here I am wanting you to work year round.
Yeah.
So I wanted you to give us, like, some visuals. So we have this table stretching, white linen tablecloth. What's next on the table?
Yeah, so we show up at the farm at 9 a.m. Okay. And we bring our school bus. So it sort of all started when we I got a phone call from Heath last June, and he said, "All right, we're in. I bought the bus." And I thought, well, he's probably in California or Nevada, and he's bought the bus. And I said, "Well, where are you?" And he said, "Ohio." And I said, "Well, I'm just across the border in Michigan. You know, come on up." And so he pulled in later that day with a 27-foot Bluebird school bus that he'd purchased in upstate New York, and we had had it gutted at that point. And so with that frame, you know, and I would say we did it, but there were a lot of very talented craftsmen involved. We built up the electrical system, the plumbing, and everything we needed in order to sort of have a self-contained, you know, prep kitchen that we could move mobily around the county. And so we show up very early in the morning.
The bus is beautifully painted, and it's just, you know, incredibly picturesque when it's parked at the farm. The guys come in.
What color is it?
We chose a color very similar to that of the Golden Gate Bridge. So
ooh,
it has a little
bit
of a burnt orange, red quality to it, depending upon the light.
Right, cool.
So we wanted to go with something a little bit different than sort of the canary yellow of a regular school bus. So we wouldn't be mistaken. And then our emblem, our logo, which we had carved by a local artist named Rick Olson out of Occidental, is an oak tree with a table underneath it. And so we had a relief of that hand-painted onto the side of the bus as well. So we show up early. We begin unloading our equipment. We get a little staging area set up outside the bus, and then we begin to build the table. So the most important thing is to find a piece of ground flat enough for a 50-foot table, which isn't so difficult on farms like Dave's, but can be precarious when we're up in vineyards along the Russian River
absolutely.
And things like that.
And plus West County, you got to watch out for all those gopher holes.
Oh, yes. There's one farm in particular that
Yeah, no high-heeled shoes.
Yeah.
No, and we do have to inform our guests that practical footwear is important to enjoying the farm dinner.
Yeah. Now, do you work with a rental company, or do you own everything that you use?
We do work with a rental company for some of our plates in silver, particularly for our larger dinners.
Uh-huh.
We own all of our own tables and chairs.
You do? Oh, wow. And that all fits in the school bus?
We actually load that into a trailer. that we bring to the property as well. Mm-hmm. And we've got antique silver, mixed and match antique silver sets,
cool.
and mixed and match antique china sets.
Oh, nice.
So when we do smaller dinners, we have all of our own equipment for that other than linens. And that's just... because I think no one really wants to have to launder, 20-foot pieces of linen on a weekly basis. and I certainly don't want to be the one who has to iron them. But we set it up with a white linen table and press that out. And if the wind's not being difficult, that's when we begin to set the crystal stemware down and prepare for the guests.
Mm-hmm.
So we want it to be... we want the experience to be to sort of the highest standards of fine dining. But more importantly, we want it to be an opportunity for the guests to connect with the farmers. So we get flowers from a local Healdsburg farm called Strong Arm Farm.
Mm-hmm.
And so they provide the flowers. And so those go along the center of the table. And we have very large, sort of wide tables so that the guests feel...
oh, nice. Yep.
They... have a little bit of space and they're not crowded. Great. And that way, if we do some of the dishes maybe family style, mm-hmm. which is fun for a community dinner,
absolutely,
there's a space for people to sort of move around and space for the stemware for the wine that we uh-huh. pour as well.
That's great. I'm a huge advocate. In fact, when my daughter got married, I did end-to-end tables through a garden for 138 people.
Oh, wow.
I insisted on it. but, having enough... and then everything was served family style.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. I think it really helps facilitate interaction between strangers.
It does.
Sort of breaks the ice.
It does, definitely. And people walk away with old and new friends.
Yes.
And I think it's great for the farmers as well, or at least I hope it's great for the farmers, in the sense that, this is about connecting people
mm-hmm.
For us. It's,
yeah,
and
it's
get to know your farmers, kind of the philosophy.
And farming is a lot of, long days of toiling. It's good, honest work, and I think most farmers do it because...
hard work.
Yes, but we do it because we love it, of course. Mm-hmm. But there is something... incredibly gratifying to see this amazing team from Meets and Bounds when they arrive. And I mean, Drew's being very modest, I would say, when he describes it. I mean, they arrive and everything seems like they've thought of everything and everything's all planned out. And of course, you're scurrying around and trying to clean things up maybe a little better than you would normally do. But then to sort of see that, the evening fall and, you've been in communication with the chef and the sous chef for probably a 2-week period leading up to the dinner and talking about what you expect to have and then, sort of finalizing your availability and then harvesting, very specifically to what they have planned. And it's really nice because it's a back and forth communication.
Mm-hmm.
And to just reach that moment of the day of the dinner – and you see your farm, transformed from a thing where you're normally just looking sort of at the next thing in front of your face.
Mm-hmm.
And you often, don't even see all the beauty of the place that you work.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's all dressed up for this amazing event and, you see the guests arrive and you sort of experience a place that you, of course, hold very dear. But that you are, spend every day at, and then to see it through the eyes of the guests,
mm-hmm.
Looking its best, and the food has, the produce has been transformed, by these amazing skilled hands. It's definitely, an amazingly gratifying experience.
So I want to know about how you plan the menus and who comes to these dinners. But first, we're going to take a musical break here on Mouthful. This song just popped into my head. Oops.
It's only teenage wasteland. Sally, take my hand. We'll travel south across land. Put out the fire. Don't look past my shoulder. The exodus is here. The happy one.
Pod that down about halfway through, but I couldn't. Hope you enjoyed it out there in the field. That's what we're talking about. It's Meats and Bounds, dinners that take place on the farm in the North Bay with Jeremy Drew Dugan and Dave Pugh. So how, I assume, I could be completely wrong, you use more than one farm for each dinner when it comes to your supplies, or do you just do what's at that farm?
Well, we try to use as much as we can from the host farm, from the farm that we're setting up for that particular event. So it all begins with the crop list. So Dave sends us a crop list. The team and I, Heath, Kingsley, and Alicia, we sit down and we begin to look at the crop list and create a menu based on that and sort of check off some of the ingredients as we go. Obviously, you know, things like protein.
Yeah, I was wondering if
a lot of farms, you know, don't necessarily raise chickens or hogs or things like that. But say when we work with a farm like Dave's, the vegetable matter would all come from that farm.
Right.
And we would source other ingredients locally. We might get things from 2xC out of Bodega Bay if we're going to be doing, let's say, salmon or cod. If we're doing oysters, those might be coming out of Tamales Bay or something along those lines. So we do hunt and peck for local ingredients to sort of fill out that menu. But primarily, we want it to be sort of a holistic take on what that farm has to offer. And what is coming out of the ground and is in perfect season that particular week.
So what last night did you do at Foggy River?
At Foggy River last night. So, let's see. The main course, we'll move. Well, we can start at the beginning. We started off with a vegetable terrine. So we took eggplant, some roasted peppers, some tomatoes. There's some zucchini and other squash that were in that. And we mandolined those very thin, mm-hmm. just sort of blanched them and threw them in an ice bath so that they would maintain a really nice texture. And, you know, layered them very thinly. And mm-hmm. then that was arranged so that all of the various colors of the various vegetables would be presented to the guest. Mm-hmm. With that, we then did a little sort of crostini of locally baked bread with some cherry tomatoes that we had dehydrated, so just kind of concentrate those mm-hmm. flavors. So that was the first course. We moved on after that to a bean salad. So we were taking, are they Blue Lake green beans? I believe that's the name of the varietal. Mm-hmm. And just sort of sliced those very thinly and sort of julienne those. And then we did some croquettes, or as I liked to call them, we had confit some chicken, and then we took some jowl bacon, and we made basically, to use a lowbrow term, little tiny round donuts out of those. So we fried those just lightly in a very light batter, and just absolutely amazing. So a lot of prep time goes into sure. that to confit the chicken ahead of time and cure the bacon. And so
you, you cured the bacon.
That was the second course.
Mm-hmm. Right on.
And then we moved on to a little bit of albacore that was just caught right off the coast mm-hmm. Earlier this week. And we just sort of cured that very briefly in a little salt and sugar. And then that was set on a shelled bean salad. So marrow fat beans, sort of an heirloom
so
varietal.
So good. Marrow fats are just one of the best.
Yeah, that Foggy River does.
Yes.
And we love the texture because it's so buttery and rich and creamy in and of itself. And we wanted to do that three different ways. So we created a little bit of a bean puree. Mm-hmm. We left some of them shucked but whole. Mm-hmm. And then we fried a couple of them to give just a nice little crunchy texture to that. Mm-hmm. And then this albacore, which we just seared very lightly after we cured it, just resting filleted out on top of this little sort of salad.
Nice.
For that. And then for the culmination of the savory courses, we did local lamb two ways. So we braised the shoulder so that it's fall apart mm-hmm. in your mouth tender.
Whose lamb was it?
We got it through Marin Sun.
Okay.
So I'm not mm-hmm. sure exactly who the farmer was for mm-hmm. that. But we do use them and Sonoma County Meat Company mm-hmm. When we're not working directly with mm-hmm. the farmer themselves. Mm-hmm. So we source a lot of our meat from those two butcher shops here in the county. Mm-hmm. And then we grilled the leg of lamb. So, and then removed that mm-hmm. off the bone. And then that was sliced very thinly, almost like a sort of a medium rare cut. Mm-hmm. So it gave some folks some options. And that was resting over a sort of a panzanella mm-hmm. salad of fresh tomatoes, some herbs, cucumbers, and basically some day-old bread that we let dry out just a little bit that we got, I believe, from Della Fattoria mm-hmm. Down in Petaluma.
Yep, cool.
So, and then last for dessert, you know, sometimes we go very high concept mm-hmm. for desserts. But last night we just felt like we knew it was going to be a little bit chilly when the night ended. So we did hot chocolate and cookies. So we did mm-hmm. pecan and golden raisin cookies mm-hmm. That we made from scratch ourselves. And then we did a wonderful chocolate ganache that we then turned into, it was a little thick for hot cocoa in the sense of what you get as a child, mm-hmm. But wonderful to dip the cookies in and mm-hmm. sort of enjoy. And mm-hmm. people were digging into their cups for the last little bite at the end of the evening.
And then what did you do when it came to wine?
Well, last night, for wine, there's sort of three different formats. Okay. Sometimes we do dinners with wineries themselves, mm-hmm. which will focus on what is grown on that estate. Mm-hmm. And then other times, I choose the selections from a variety of local and organic producers. We want the wines that we pour to be small family-owned wineries, mm-hmm. organic wineries, or biodynamic wineries. Mm-hmm. We just feel it's important to sort of support that aspect of the industry. And there's so much diversity in Sonoma, not only with its abundance of food, but with the abundance of wine as well. So because we were at Foggy River, Foggy River Farm is part of a larger Hopkins Ranch,
mm-hmm.
and they have a number of acres of vines. So we always like to start off with a little aperitif. So some of their Pinot Meunier goes to Jay Vineyards. Mm-hmm. So we started off with some bubbles, which is always a great way to
start
welcome
anything.
People to the farm. Mm-hmm. And then we poured a little bit of Pay Vineyards Sep Rosé of Pinot Noir, mm-hmm. which is also sourced from the Hopkins Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
So last night it was wonderful because not only did the produce, but also the wine that
we were
sharing.
Yeah, that's a nice tie-in.
Came. And the rest was sort of a BYOB, so your own bottle.
Uh-huh.
And we sent the menu out to the guests ahead of time. I let them know sort of what I was going to pair with it, because we always bring wine for the farmers,
mm-hmm.
For the BYOB and the other events. And so people brought their own selections, and mm-hmm. we had guests coming from as far away as Chicago and a number locally. So there was quite an array of wine there on the table. And the nice thing is, because of the community table, people were talking and sharing their wine and getting to taste a number of different varietals and bottlings with the evening's cuisine.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And who, you know, someone from Chicago, interesting. Who come to these dinners?
Well, you know, there's certainly a mix. We have had a few articles and some press that have gone in some national magazines. So we've had people from Alabama who are on their honeymoon come out and join us.
Mm-hmm. Which national magazines?
Afar magazine. And a couple of things that have actually gone on. We had a piece that went up on KQED a little while ago as well. And so last night we had a couple who was out from Chicago to celebrate their anniversary with their son who lives out here. And that was how they chose, one of the ways they chose to celebrate that event in their lives. And I think they had a great time. We sat them right next to Emmett and Linda Hopkins, who are the farmers at Foggy River. And they had a really wonderful evening. And
yeah, Linda's they've been on the show before.
Yeah, they're great people, a really, really wonderful family there in the Russian River Valley.
Uh-huh. And so I figure farmers' friends come. How do locals find out about this?
Well, you know, it's this first season. It's been a lot of handshakes and introductions and words of mouth. And, you know, we've been fortunate enough to get a little bit of press in like the Press Democrat and Edible Silicon Valley. And then recently, just this past issue that came out, there was a write-up in Sonoma Magazine and a couple of other online little blurbs here and there. So I would say that right now, the majority of our guests are coming up either from San Francisco or from Marin or Sonoma.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are getting, you know, the occasional sort of tourist that's coming this way, referred to from a hotel that they might be staying at or a winery that they're, you know, a member of or something along those lines.
Cool. Dave, I want to bring you back in now because, we're going to just deviate a little bit from Meets and Bounds because you've just started a new farm. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Actually, beginning in September, I said goodbye to my old project in Geyserville. And I have just now gotten an amazing opportunity with a great landowner who was interested in seeing a part of their Russian River Valley, river bottom, amazing land turned into something other than another few acres of
grapes,
wine grapes.
Wow, and excellent. Whereabouts in the valley?
Where Russian River Organics is going to be located is just a couple of miles west of Healdsburg on West Side Road.
Oh, okay, well, it's great. West Side Road is such a fabulous area.
It's an amazing area. It's beautiful. It's got perfect loam soils. Mm-hmm. And so I was just lucky enough to meet up with a landowner who already does have a lot of beautiful vineyards on their property, but they had a vision that this 4 acres would be farmed by somebody with growing row crops and produce. And what's more is that they are interested in someone who has a long-term plan.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Which was really important to me because I'm now a part of the community in Healdsburg, and I want to be here for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have the opportunity to farm a piece of land for 20 years, which is the term of the lease.
That's great.
Is really amazing because, you know, I love all the amazing wine that we have and mm-hmm. you know, all our AVAs around here. But you have to have good food to enjoy with
Absolutely.
Good wine.
Absolutely.
And as a farmer, it's a little bit tricky if you don't have land that your family has owned for multiple generations, mm-hmm. or you are sort of coming into farming as a gentleman farmer who's already been highly successful in some other field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the third option there is really to lease mm-hmm. a piece of farmland. And, you know, starting up a farm has a lot of capital costs regardless.
Yeah.
So, you know, even without having to think about buying a piece of property, it's there's a lot that goes into starting a new farm.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, I just feel really fortunate. I've got a great location, and landowners who really seem enthusiastic and helpful uh-huh. for me to realize my vision with my business.
Mm-hmm. How are you going to get started? I mean, are you going to plant for a harvest quickly, or are you going to... You know.
So right now, you know, this project has officially been underway now for about 3 weeks. So the farm mm-hmm. is really right now mostly in between my ears,
sure.
inside my head.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, I do have the benefit of having started or worked on starting a couple of other farms prior to this one. And so, yeah, right now it's a little bit of everything. I'm working on infrastructure projects for the winter. I'll need to mm-hmm. have at least, you know, greenhouse space
mm-hmm.
and start working on fencing and storage space and wash stations and all mm-hmm. the things
all that
you
stuff,
need to
yeah.
pack and wash and sell
mm-hmm.
The produce. But there's a separate acre and a half plot that the landowners have been kind enough to allow me to grow some initial crops on.
Oh, great.
So the piece of land that I'm going to be starting on, I've performed all the necessary soil tests, and mm-hmm. I have amendments, you know, organic amendments that I have planned, and then it'll get just hopefully a thick, beautiful cover crop on the whole 4 acres
mm-hmm.
this winter. And another piece of land that they had allowed to go fallow already has very improved soil.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the next month, as we approach the October full moon, I will be planting a lot of garlic. Mm-hmm. And
do you plant by the moon?
You know, not entirely.
Uh-huh.
I would say mostly not.
Oh, mostly not. Okay.
But, you know, some words of wisdom that have been spoken to me by farmers who have mm-hmm. a lot of experience.
Yeah. There's one in Northwest Sebastopol, they have been growing for decades. They grow fabulous crops, man, and this woman knows everything about planting by the moon.
Well, a lot of times of the year, you know, I'm just putting crops in the ground as quickly as I
sure.
can go.
Yeah.
Because part of running a small, uh-huh. diversified organic farm is that as soon as beds become empty...
You got to fill them up?
You got to fill them up again. And so, you know, there's a time of the year... probably the bulk of the year when, you know, I'm planting what needs to go in the ground
sure.
that day because
sure.
it's not going to be happy. You know, I really try to focus on, you know, we do all of our own greenhouse starts
mm-hmm.
and we really try to take exceptional care of the plant from the very beginning and mm-hmm. germinate it under ideal conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that, of course, is transplanting it at the appropriate time and not leaving
sure.
it too long.
Yeah.
And so, you know, fall planted crops like garlic, mm-hmm. They lend themselves to this, you know, because you know you need to plant garlic sometime in the fall anyway.
Yeah.
And so I find that, you know, the full moon is coming. To me, it just gives me a little motivation to uh-huh. remember that, you know, I don't want to neglect to do it and wait until the days get too short and, you know, have it not get off to a strong
sure.
start. And so... Yeah, that's this fall will be garlic and strawberries
mm-hmm.
and then a few winter greens
mm-hmm.
And possibly some winter root vegetables as
mm-hmm.
well. And I mean, it's been so amazing for me, just as people have heard about my new project that, of course, I'm very excited about and enthusiastic. So many members of the community, you know, have come up to me and expressed their support.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's definitely a daunting step to take, to go from a sort of established farm that's somewhat up and running to going out on a whole new venture. And, you know, I have no crops to harvest right now, which is just the strangest thing for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's been years since I can remember a September where I'm, you know, reading some books on soil science or, you know, sort of having a little time to do these other kind of more reflective things that I'm not normally doing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one thing that's really definitely made it possible in my heart and in my mind to take this step is the outpouring of support and interest and excitement mm-hmm. that I've gotten from chefs that I've worked with, whether it be, you know, Heath and Drew from Meats and Bounds, or some of the chefs of all of our favorite, especially North County, Sonoma County restaurants. Mm-hmm. And to know that, you know, when I do come with my new product, that it won't be from a complete, you know, as a complete unknown.
You already have customers.
Yes, I hope so.
Yes, it sounds not going to be one of your problems.
I better need to get those crops in the ground in any case, though, because you don't want people to go too long.
That's right. And we're going to take another musical break. Be right back here on Mouthful.
Grapes are covering the grassland. They're buying up for family farms. Selling out, who can blame them? Wine's a cash crop growing strong. And in the fields of Pendle Valley, buildings sprout up like new sown seeds. Now they call it Telecom Central. This is what consumers need. I am the hand that rocks the cradle. I am the voice that sings this song. I am the one called local color. Salt of the earth, but not for long. Take a look, cause I'm gone. The gamblers in this brand new Gora, they're moving in. This is progress, we ain't got far. I am the hand that rocks the cradle. I am the voice that sings this song. I am the one called local color. Salt of the earth and not for long. Take a look, cause I'll be gone. This land once open and free. Well, they got pictures in the museum of local color that used to be. I am the hand that rocks the cradle. I am the voice that sings this song. I am the one called local color. Salt of the earth, but not for long. Take a look, cause I'll be gone. I am the voice that sings this song. I am the one called local.
Love that song, Local Color. Very flattered that it was inspired by Mouthful. The name of the album is Local Color as well. Our beloved Solid Air duo, of course, written by Allegra Broughton. And I have set out a long time ago to prove that sentiment wrong. And that's one of Mouthful's goals, is to, you know, tell everybody what we have here, remind everybody what we have here, celebrate what we have here so that we don't lose it. You know, I fell in love with Sonoma County when I was 2. And that was a long time ago. And it's a really dynamic time right now in agriculture. There's a huge wave of inspired young people involved in all aspects of agriculture. And it's just really a great thing to watch. And I feel like increasingly Mouthful has really been about that a lot. And I'm going to continue that. And now we've got 8 minutes or so left. And that's an eternity in radio. So we have more to talk about. Let's talk, as far as meets and bounds go, what dinners are coming up and what is available if people want to join in?
Sure. Yeah, we have, I guess there are 5 weekends, but only 3 of those are sort of public community dinners that are left.
Okay.
This coming Saturday, we are out in Sebastopol at Beet Generation Farm.
Oh, Libby.
Yeah, Libby and Abby, and Allie, rather.
Yes.
Fantastic. They do great produce.
She's two of my favorite people. Well. And they just got married.
They did. They did. Yes. Yeah, just this past month. So we're headed out there to, this will be our 3rd time at that farm.
And that's September 27th?
That is September
27th. Okay.
We'll be doing 2 nights of sort of a private wine club membership at a Lambert Bridge Winery in October on the 3rd and the 4th.
Mm-hmm.
But that's specifically for the winery itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're taking a little respite because that'll probably be very exhausting to do 2 nights back to back. But on October 11th, we will be at Bricks Farm and Vineyard, so another fairly new project on Dry Creek Road, just outside of Healdsburg. That just went up on our website.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to close our season out at Front Porch Farm in Healdsburg as well, and that will be on October 25th.
Full moon, right? Right around
I
then?
Believe...
I think it's right around then.
Yeah.
I think. Front Porch Farm. And tell us the website.
It is meetsandbounds.co. So meetsandbounds.co.
.co. That one's getting a little more familiar.
Yeah, we're currently in the hunt for the .com. But when we originally came up with the name, we found out that there was an agricultural surveyor in, I believe, Georgia or Alabama that had that domain name, but it's coming up for public auction, I believe, this week. So we may have both domains sort of linked to each other. But that's where folks can find us, and we're on Facebook as well.
Okay. What do these dinners cost?
Well, it varies in price. Take like the dinner that we did last night at Foggy River Farm. That was $120 per guest. And it didn't include the wine in the guest.
It did or it didn't?
It did not include the wine. Okay. I mean, we had an aperitif and some tastes of things for folks. But our traditional dinners are, they're $175 per person. And that can seem very expensive. Amazingly enough, a lot of that money is going to the farmers. You know, we do some profit sharing with them, or some revenue sharing. I would say profit sharing, but as a new business,
yes,
it's more a matter of revenue than profit at this point. And of course, we're keeping our we're letting the economics speak locally, so we're keeping our dollar local. So rather than, you know, getting a great deal on bulk food somewhere inexpensively.
No, you're buying real food from people.
We're paying top dollar to the people that are growing the beautiful produce, you know, right there on the estate or on a nearby farm if that's not available. So,
One thing
between the wineries and the farmers, you know, we're trying to support as much local agriculture and industry within Sonoma County.
Yeah, for so long when people here, we really knew what we had. A lot of people did. But the level of promotion was not great. And I'm talking back in the, you know, from the late 70s through the 80s when it was really slow. Sonoma County, I always thought Sonoma County was going to be discovered long before it really was. But back then, everyone asked you to donate your food. You know, farmers were we're going to have this big dinner and we're going to celebrate Sonoma County and let people know, can you donate, you know, 3 lambs and 15 cases of, you know, apples and 10 of tomatoes. And by the way, you're a chef, can you work for free? I mean, that went on for a really, really long time. So it's, and you're not the first, but you're one of them. A number of people have come along and started to do things with produce and said, no, the first rule is we do not ask farmers for donations. We are going to start paying farmers.
Yeah.
And it's really been a great move. I've really been happy to see it.
Yeah, I mean, it's important, I think. There's a lot of love and labor that goes into creating beautiful produce, like what Dave and the folks at Foggy River do. It takes a lot of time
and
effort.
But everyone does, yeah.
You know, this isn't large agro business. You know, there aren't
and it's not,
huge subsidies and things
like that.
It's
not retirement income.
No, no. You know, they're doing it because they love it.
Yeah.
And we're supporting them because we love what they're doing. And we want to bring that to the community. I think there's no better way to showcase the bounty of Sonoma County than to have a feast celebrating those fruits of the land.
One more practical question. Do you have a dishwasher in the school bus?
We do not have a dishwasher in the school bus. We have a two-chamber sink that we can use to wash dishes. But the really, really fun part of the evening, usually at about midnight, 12:30, when we finally roll off the farm, we head on over to a commissary kitchen and we do dishes for an hour or two.
Wow.
So it is, you know, we pack everything on. We bring our own water and our own electricity and our own lights and things like that. And then we pack it all off. And so if there is anybody who wants to volunteer their time to do dishes, that we won't say no to. We're willing to pay top dollar for beautiful produce, but we have to use a little elbow grease to get our dishes clean at the end of the evening.
Yeah, the more you talked about it, the more I thought, okay, is there a dishwasher? And I thought, I bet there's not, because you have the way, you know, you wouldn't have the water for it to function.
Yeah.
So that, and if you own your own china, that's a big consideration.
Yes, it is. And, you know, we've got water on the bus, like about 50 gallons, but it's certainly not a push-through dishwasher.
Sure.
It's sort of a, let's clean that knife or let's scrub that pan because we probably have to use it again later that same evening.
Yes, absolutely. When will you start booking for next year?
Well, I would imagine, you know, now that we're beginning to develop a little bit of reputation and more importantly, relationships with the host farms and host vineyards, we'll probably start putting that schedule up early in 2015 for maybe late April, May, and June. So this season, we've been trying to book like 6 weeks out in advance. It's sort of a laying the paving stones one step ahead of
Absolutely.
Our bus, so to speak.
So I book Mouthful.
Yeah. And, but next season, we want to have, you know, now that the website's in place and the relationships are coming, we want to have those up, you know, 2 or 3 months in advance. So I think if people... you know, you can sign up for our newsletter. We do have a newsletter that
you
can
sign up
for the website.
Online. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I would, the website again is meetsandbounds.co. That's meetsandbounds.co. Don't put an M on it. And then that note, we are out of time. So thanks very much, Jeremy Drew Dugan,
for being here.
Dave Pugh, you'll let us know when you're harvesting.
Absolutely, yes. Anyone who wants to support a new farm, I believe that Russian River Organics, and we will be certified organic when we begin operation.
Okay.
We'll be starting a CSA next spring and hopefully doing
Let me know. We'll have you back.
Meets and Bounds.
I'll talk about it here. And on that note,
we'll visit again.
Great. Thank you so much. We will be airing an archive edition of Mouthful next Sunday because I will be involved in an all-day photo shoot. But meet me back here next 2 weeks from tonight for another yummy episode of Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour here on KRCB-FM. And thanks so much to Mary Carroll for engineering. You rock, Mary.
Children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough.
Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page.
Time for dinner now, let's go.